Can you go through the next sort of series of questions and cases that Dan Petrylak put up, really looking at the issue of adjuvant therapy, but then therapy of PSA progression?
The case started out as a 58-year-old gentleman, PSA of 11, Gleason 6, 4 of 6 course positive, who undergoes surgery. Undergoes a radical prostatectomy, upgraded to Gleason 8, negative margins, but involves seminal vesicles. His PSA becomes undetectable postoperatively. What do you recommend? And so at this point, we're talking about adjuvant therapy for high-grade, high-risk prostate cancer, Gleason 8, seminal vesicle involvement. And the audience, more than about 40%, which was the largest amount, recommended both radiation and hormonal therapy. About a quarter recommended nothing, a quarter recommended radiation, and a very small number, 7%, recommended hormonal therapy alone. And my thought on this is where you have the discussion with the gentleman. And if I was going to do anything in this case, I'd be having a discussion between observation versus radiation and short course hormonal therapy at this juncture. Now, he's 58 and he's healthy. And this is where I would be more in favor of treatment as opposed to less. Because of the young age, he has a lot more to lose if he recurs in terms of his life expectancy than if he's older. The next thing says that no treatment was given. 10 months postoperatively, his PSA is 0.7. 13 months, it's 1.8. Now, what do you recommend? And now two-thirds of the audience shifted to, yes, radiation and hormonal therapy, which I think is the appropriate response. I must add, though, that we have no randomized data proving this. There is a RTOG study that has been completed randomizing men in this recurrent PSA setting to radiation with or without hormonal therapy. It's RTOG 9601. And that study will give us the answer to whether hormones add or not. My bias is they probably will, and that's why I do recommend the combination at this point and would have considered it in the adjuvant setting for this young man with high-risk features.
Is that the trial that looks at bicalutamide?
Yes, that's the trial that used 2 years of bicalutamide at 150. That's correct.
When do you think we'll have an answer to that?
Well, it ran from 97 to 2001, so it's out about 4 years now, probably a couple of more years before that's out.
Do you know whether or not it's adequately powered to answer the question?
I believe it had 1,500 patients, so that should be enough to answer that question. You're really looking at it as a hormone addition to radiation question. If you think the difference is a few percent, then no, it's not powered. If you think the difference is 10%, then it's adequately powered.
I guess from my point of view, I don't know, do we know whether radiation therapy in this situation changes survival?
We do not. That's correct. So the rising PSA patient, the standard of care based on evidence is observation. There is no proof that anything changes survival.
So I guess the next question was the type of hormonal therapy that was utilized. The most common answer was LHRH agonist plus flare protection with anti-androgen.
That's correct. And I think that's reasonable based on what most of us know as to what we use in the upfront setting.
What would you do in that situation yourself?
What I do is I give radiation in 6 months of combined hormonal therapy, which would be both the LHRH agonist and an anti-androgen.